It's the Lindsay Noon Show on Highland Radio. You're very welcome back to hour two of the programme this morning. Some of your comments. Can you please give the staff in the emergency department a shout out? I recently spent 24 hours in the department. Very busy, but staff were wonderful people everywhere being sent to, seen to, but the staff carried out in a calm and caring professional way, from cleaners to nurses, doctors, every one of them. Thank you all. And that comes from Ray. And thank you, Ray, indeed. And it, I think in fairness, the vast, vast majority of people will always say the system is terrible, but the staff are excellent. And it's very rarely that you actually find the complaints centred on the staff. The complaints almost invariably centred on the system and the situation rather than the people who are forced to work in it. The caller says the parking at the Finn Valley Leisure Centre at night is absolutely ridiculous. Some nights and even Saturday mornings it can be very dangerous. People park on double yellow lines all the time, and even on the junction when you're coming up from the marked road you have to pull slowly onto the middle of the road and hope nothing is coming up from Dreenan Bridge. There have been countless near misses. It's only a matter of time before someone is seriously hurt. There was never adequate parking when it was just the athletic club, so now the leisure centre is causing even more problems for parking. It's beyond me. If Finn Harps ever get their act together and move over to that area, that'll only exacerbate the problem tenfold. The guards have been wrong on numerous occasions. They can't come out, and that's because it's a council building. And that's from a local resident who's very concerned about the situation there. Caller says there's a lot of wild geese in the Port Hall area. A few have been killed by electric wires. Is there anything that could be done with the wires to prevent this from happening? Also, power was off twice last week in the area. It could have been caused by the geese hitting the wires. Caller is asking, this is an interesting one. I am looking for guidance from the RSA on being stopped in the middle of a school run for inspection of a school bus while children as young as 5 or 6 are left standing alongside busy roads for over 30 to 45 minutes waiting to be picked up for school. Where is the health and safety of the children taken in this practice? Also the children, many thanks. A bus operator for over 45 years. Now, an interesting question. On PBS numbers, I recently went to a weekly dance class. We were all asked to write down our name, age and PBS number. Never thought of it at the time as we were all queuing up, but should this have been asked, our personal information? Now, under normal circumstances, I would have thought no. The only thing I can think of is, was this class being provided perhaps by a local development company or a local community organisation that's being funded under a government scheme, and as such you're entitled to take part in that by dint of the fact that it's a government spot? I don't know. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't have thought so. I'm just wondering, was it maybe provided through the ETB or a development company which is government funded? That's the only thing I can think of. It's a very interesting question. The traffic the past number of evenings in Letterkenny Town is ridiculous. I work in the Lisnennan area. I've rung Gardaí and asked them to come to direct traffic. A 10-minute journey now takes an hour. Gardaí told me there was no cars available to come to direct traffic. I told them they have 2 feet. They said they have more urgent matters to attend to. The Gardaí told me it was a council problem. Gardaí should be taking some responsibility for traffic in the town. It took me an hour and a half to get to Drumkeen. The traffic situation is dire. People are getting nowhere. And another caller is saying both Charlie McConnellogue and Joe McHugh voted for the hate crime bill as they are against democracy and freedom of expression. Now, the caller did refer to this as the hate speech bill. My understanding is that the hate speech element of that legislation actually was taken out of it. So they're not voting on hate speech legislation, they're voting on hate crime legislation, and the speech elements of that legislation have actually been removed and weren't being voted on, as I understand it. We spoke before the break to Minister Alan Dillon. Caller says, what about the small businesses struggling and closing down, the job losses that result? Another caller says, what public transport can we use in Donegal? It's either not in existence, or if it is, it doesn't turn up. Another caller says, 1,000 litres of heating oil in Donegal, it's €1,010. In Derry, it's €603. Another caller says, there's been an increase in energy credits. We're only getting one €250 credit. In the beginning, we got four €200 energy payments. Inflation may be decreasing, but so are the payments. Delighted to be joined in studio this morning by Gartha Sean Sweeney. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Dawn. Thanks for having me.
Sean, a lot to get through on the show this morning, and we're going to begin with an issue that people will have been hearing about on the news with Michaela, an incident overnight in Mount Charles.
Yeah, we're appealing for witnesses following a road traffic collision that occurred in Main Street in Mount Charles. So this was this morning, Tuesday, 29th of October. Shortly after 4:30 a.m, Gardaí and emergency services were alerted to a collision involving a vehicle and a pedestrian at that location. A man was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for serious injuries sustained during the collision. There are no other injuries reported. So we are appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the collision to contact us Any road users who are in the area between the time of 4 a.m. and 4:40 a.m. have camera footage, including dash cam, please make this available to investigating Gardaí. It should be in Ballyshannon Garda Station 071-985-8530, or you can call the confidential line 1800-666-111.
I mean, that was about, what, less than 6 hours ago, so hopefully it'll be fresh in people's minds if anyone saw anything there.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Also, a traffic incident, and this is an interesting one. It happened on the 5th of October on the Polestar in Letterkenny.
Yeah, so this was Saturday, the 5th of October, shortly before 6:10 p.m. So a minor collision occurred between an ambulance and a white Jeep at the Polestar roundabout. The wing mirrors of both vehicles collided. The ambulance crew were on emergency call at the time, and they had the lights and sirens are activated. So the driver of the ambulance, he was in a position to stop and ascertain details due to the situation at hand, but he did report the matter to Gardaí as soon as possible afterwards. It's not known if there was any damage caused to the white Jeep. We wish to make contact with the driver to clarify this. We asked him, please contact Letterkenny, 91 67 100.
And that, as we say, was Saturday the 5th of October, so just over 3 weeks ago. A silver MTEC trailer stolen from Dromore. Another one of these trailer thefts.
Yeah, listen, we're appealing for information relating to this theft. It was a silver MTEC trailer, and this happened at Dromore in Letterkenny near the Dry Arse roundabout. This occurred shortly before 10 to 1 a.m. on Saturday the 26th of October. So the 10x5 trailer in question has LED lights, mesh sides, a double axle, and didn't have a registration plate. The trailer was removed from the area by a white transit van with a high roof. Again, there was no registration plates attached here. So we appeal to anybody who may have been in the area, the dual carriage outbound or inbound between 12:30 at night and 1 a.m, who may have dash cam footage to make it available. Dash cam is also sought from anybody who is in the general area of the Dry Arse roundabout between those times, or if anybody has any relevant information or come across a similar type of trailer for sale on a second-hand basis. We ask them to contact Gardaí Letterkenny on 91 67 100. Again, the confidential line, 1800 666 111.
And I suppose in many cases the concern here is that a trailer like that could well be across the border as well, so this will very much be a cross-border reveal, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. We've had a couple of incidents over recent weeks, Sean, of thefts from the vicinity of churches, and a particularly nasty one this week.
Yeah, we received a report in relation to theft that occurred at the graveyard beside the Sacred Heart Church in Carndonagh between July and October. A grave had been covered in green glass chippings in July of that year. So at some stage between July 17th and October 17th, the entire covering of glass chippings was removed and stolen from the grave. So our appeal is, anybody who can assist with any relevant information, please contact Buncrana 932540. We're anxious to progress this investigation, so we urge anybody who may have observed any type of suspicious activity around the graveyard over the course of those months to make contact with us.
Particularly nasty, as I said. An incident of criminal damage in the vicinity of Port Hall, Lifford, over the weekend.
Yeah, this occurred in the area of Glenfad, Port Hall and Lifford on Saturday the 26th of October between 11 p.m. and 11:15 p.m. Gardaí and Fire Services responded to a call in relation to Ford Transit that was on fire in the yard at that location. Believe the fire may have been started maliciously, so our appeal is to anybody who observed suspicious activity or vehicles in that area between those times to make contact with Gardaí. So always we appeal to anybody who may have travelled in that area with dash cam to make the footage available to us. You can contact Letterkenny again, 91 67 100.
Criminal damage again, this time in Letterkenny?
Yeah, this occurred at the area of Ballymacool Woods between 1 a.m. and 10 a.m. On Saturday the 26th of October. Damage was caused to the door and lock of a coffee trailer in that area, but entry was not gained. Our appeal is, for any relevant information, contact Letterkenny, again, 91 67 100, or the confidential line.
I know that particular trailer has been targeted a number of times in recent weeks. Yeah. It's not the first appeal we've had in relation to
it. No, exactly. No, so we'll be anxious to try and do something with this.
Again, criminal damage, sadly, over the weekend, this time in Buncrana.
Yeah, this occurred on Upper Main Street in Buncrana between 5 p.m. on Friday the 25th of October and 11 a.m. on Saturday the 26th. The car was parked at that location, and at some stage between those times, one of the wing mirrors was damaged. So our appeal to anybody who observed the incident, or if they can offer any relevant information, please contact Gardaí Macrana on 932-0540.
Again, staying in the show, another criminal damage incident, this time closer to the border at Burnfoot.
Yeah, this happened at Lys na Gréine in Burnfoot between 10 p.m. on Friday the 25th of October and 2:50 a.m. on Saturday the 26th. A van had parked in that address in that area and it was covered with paint between those times. So our appeal is to residents in the area, please make contact with Gardaí if they observed or heard anything last Friday night into Saturday morning that might assist with our investigation. If they have any information that can assist, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí Macrana on 93205 40.
And other incidents in relation to damage to cars, this time in the vicinity of Ballybuffet?
Yeah, this appeal is in relation to 6 incidents of criminal damage that occurred on between 7 p.m. on Wednesday 23rd October and 9:30 a.m. on Thursday 24th at the Naveni car park in Ballybuffet. The wipers were pulled off of 6 cars in the car park between those times. In some instances, the wiper brackets were bent and broken also. One of the cars also scraped along the passenger door. So if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area between those times, or if they can assist with any relevant information, please ask them to contact Letter Kenny on 9167100.
The mindlessness of things like that just gets to me sometimes. It's really... Yeah, so, I mean, that's they're all there. And all these, of course, will be going up on the website, and it'll be we'll be putting the recording of this up on the website, and it'll be going up on your own page as well, so people can... and, of course, check the Highland Radio site as well. People can look back on the various details of all the incidents coming up. We know Michael is working very hard to get all this online over the course of the next hour or so. Halloween this week, it's coming up on Thursday night, and we've had the firework appeal before, and I suppose it's no harm to have the firework appeal again, because this is really, really important. There is great fun to be had over the coming days. There is also potentially great danger.
Exactly, so Halloween is upon us. We don't want anybody injured by any fireworks, so we urge anybody who's thinking of buying or using fireworks to have a rethink. Many horrific life-changing injuries are sustained at Halloween and run up to and every year is caused by fireworks. So not only are they dangerous, but there are severe criminal penalties for anybody who's found guilty of an offence of lighting an illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or property or possession for sale supply. So the penalties are fines up to €10,000 and or 5 years imprisonment. So if anybody comes across fireworks sale or any type of antisocial or illegal behaviour and run up to Halloween, we ask them, please contact us immediately. There are a couple of stations there are open 24/7 basis, which are Letterkenny, Milford, Buncrana and Ballyshannon. As always, you can always call 999.
And I suppose for anything that we've raised on the programme today, obviously there's individual Garda stations and districts looking at the individual incidents. But I mean, if people have information, they can call into any Garda station, call into their own local station if it so suits them, pass on a message there, it's going to get passed on to the investigating station. And finally, Sean, I suppose if anyone has any perspective on any of these issues, they can, if they choose, use the confidential line. Could you just remind us of what the confidential line number is?
It's 1800 666 1. So you leave your details there and it's totally confidential and the information you pass to the relevant Garda station.
Sean, thank you very much indeed. That's Garda Sean Sweeney there. And they were the appeals on the Community Garda information slot for today. And as we said, don't forget, they will be going up on the website over the course of the next hour or so. And we'll be putting the whole thing up on the website between 12 and 1. And it'll be on the Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page as well. But for the moment, Garda Sean Sweeney, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Don.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91260025.
The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. We spoke earlier to Marty from the downgraded homeowners group, which is working very hard on that downgrading issue. And the question is the issue here that if the government recognises pyrite, they'll have to give full redress as they did in Dublin. They're making deliberate decisions to continue the suffering of homeowners. How could anyone in Donegal vote for either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael? That one coming from Martin. Another caller says, if there is any justice in the world, the people who are wrecking other people's homes and murdering people in the Middle East should be spending the rest of their lives in jail. What's going on in Gaza is appalling, so says a caller. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Just to remind you, you can make contact with the show. Text 086-6025000. You can also, of course, call us on 07491-25000, 00353-749125000 if you're outside of the dialing area. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back from the break, we'll be speaking about the Northwest region's largest energy event, which is returning for the sixth year with a full day's conference. Lots of talk about that after these. It's 10:30 on the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The largest energy conference in the Northwest is returning for a sixth year. It's taking place in the coming weeks, and we're going to go to Zoom now and have a chat with the conference organiser, Jamie DeLargy. Jamie, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donald.
Pleasure to speak to Jimmy. Jimmy, the London Dairy Chamber of Commerce and Letterkenny Chamber coming together to present the Northwest Future of Energy Conference and Exhibition is taking place on Thursday, November 7th at the Ebrington Hotel in Derry. It's the sixth year, and this has become a very important event in the region's calendar.
Absolutely. And it comes at a crucial time in the whole field of energy. And I say that because, in recent years, the pandemic, the invasion of Ukraine, soaring energy prices, far-right politics, focus on immigration, they've all pushed the climate change down the agenda. Now, this is an opportunity to revive interest in the issue of climate change and to get renewable energy discussed more, new ways of doing things. So, we've had, people have been switching to electric cars, for instance, but then the high prices have been a bit of a deterrence. Likewise, everybody knows, that, heat pumps are a good way of decarbonizing heat in their own homes. But then there's a big price differential between them and the ordinary, the standard oil and gas boiler. So, again, the new North-South interconnector, it's terribly important, but people understandably don't want to see pylons and wires strung along the landscape. So there are a lot of headwinds and against that enthusiasm we should be showing for measures to combat climate change. There's a lot of things distracting us that I mentioned. And so I think the conference comes at a really good time to sort of, if you like, charge up those batteries and make sure that we're contributing to the fight against global warming, which is having devastating consequences across the world. Maybe not so much on this island, but still will have an effect.
It's interesting that you use the word headwinds there as you were speaking about the topics and the debate, because obviously wind energy is something that's very much a matter for debate. There's a big debate about the use of turbines on land, and we see them there becoming ubiquitous now, and there's an ongoing debate over where they should be located and how close to homes, et cetera, et cetera. There's also a growing discussion about the harnessing of wind at sea, and Lough Foyle and the area around the Foyle comes into this discussion more and more. And Lough Foyle is a shared resource between both sides of the border. The Lochs Agency is a shared cross-government and cross-border body that looks after Lough Foyle. And there's to be a very big discussion, I suspect, to be had on the use of the Foyle for wind energy in the area around the Foyle on both sides. And that's coming up in one of the discussions.
Yeah, I think the issue about the siting of wind farms is pretty critical. Because we want them, we want to put them in the most advantageous places, and onshore that has been that's been in the top of mountains. But then, realistically, and then of course offshore, we want them in positions where they're going to attract the most wind. Lough Foyle, I presume, is will offer attractions, but really the coasts. The coast will offer a much better opportunity. So off the west coast of Donegal, wonderful, consistent winds, as everybody knows who, like myself, holidays in Donegal, you're never too far away from a breezy day. That's in a sense is the optimum place off the coasts. One thing I would say about, once you've established, now you've mentioned the concern that people maybe have about the siting of wind farms. And once you get that electricity ashore, you're going to have to create, either strengthen the network to take that energy, which is coming coming in large quantities. And that means maybe new pylons, or at least strengthening the grid. And I know people have an objection to that because they think it disfigures the landscape. But it's a curious thing because there's not the same level of opposition to new roadways. I mean, people, yes, they might be at the very point where the road is going through. People might have an objection. But did you think the two things are both networks? You know, one is a network for getting transport about, getting you about. And then people see the obvious advantages of a new road and they swing in behind it. Or there's, you know, there's not the same, as I say, level of opposition. But there's every reason to look at the grid as being a network. It's not transporting people, but it's transporting a vital source of energy. And it is, you know, we really need to have those networks there to save lives, to try and decarbonize, and to, you know, move our economy along. So in a way, if we could only look at the grid as being another network like the road system, and perhaps the opposition to it might diminish somewhat.
Something I've noticed, and I have no scientific basis for saying this other than my own personal observations. On the Donegal side, the Republic side of the border, there are wind farms. And you see a wind farm, a gathering of however many, be it 15, be it 20, whatever, turbines. It seems to me that both driving along the A5, as I do regularly, and driving to Belfast, as I've done a number of times recently as well, there seems to be many more single turbines in Northern Ireland. That what you see in the Republic are big wind farms, so there's clumps of 15 or 20. But if you drive along the N5, there's maybe 7 or 8 different single turbines attached to single farms or single businesses. Is there a policy difference on both sides of the border? I mean, it seems to me it's a very different approach.
Well, there has been in the past. I'm not sure about the grant system in the Republic, but certainly in Northern Ireland, there was. Now, the grants have stopped, but in the past there was quite an attractive offer of support for people putting up single turbines, and that may not have been paralleled in the south to the same degree.
I suspect that is the case. Yeah.
So that might explain the disparity that you're seeing. I'm not quite, as I say, I'm not across the detail of the grant support, but in any case, that grant system has stopped for the moment, and we'll have to see what comes in the north. We'll have to see what is going to replace it when the government makes these decisions.
Well, no, it's just, as I say, an observation that myself and my better half had as we were driving along the road there quite recently.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the media partner for this particular event, because the media partner is Highland Radio, and my colleague Greg will be chairing one of the discussions, and my colleague John, who follows this program on Around the Northwest, will also be broadcasting live from the event. Having Highland as a media partner, it's a very interesting and exciting development from our point of view. Important for the conference that there is a media partner of that nature and yep. of that stature.
I think so. I mean, Greg, Greg is going to be chairing a discussion talking about the skills pipeline, because it's all very well to say we should be doing these things, we should be installing heat pumps, we should be, you know, encouraging people to buy electric cars, we doing the things that we want them to do. But you've got to have the backup. You've got to have the skills there in place to ensure that the things, once installed, can be monitored, can be maintained. Likewise with the car. So the skills pipeline, that discussion that Greg is going to be chairing, is a crucial one. It's crucial on both sides of the border, and we will have to do it. We will have to make sure that there is the level of support to allow people to have comfort that once they put in this newfangled heat pump that they're not terribly familiar with, that they have got somebody there they can call upon to come out and fix it. They can get somebody to come out to service it. So this is a critical thing. One of the things that I probably didn't mention when I was talking earlier there is one of the headwinds maybe is the price of electricity. Now, it so happens that the most recent figures available show how the price of the wholesale price of electricity compares on this island, because of course we have a single electricity market. So at the wholesale level, you're facing the same price both north and south. And it's proved to be in the second quarter of this year, the most expensive of the countries surveyed by the EU Commission for their regular survey, and it has been near the top of that league for for the first half of this year and the last year. So there is a thing when you're telling people, look, you really need to switch off the oil boiler, get rid of the gas boiler, and switch to a heat pump, which is obviously totally powered by electricity. When you're telling them to use an electric car, you want to be able to assure them that they're paying a very good price, a keen price for electricity. And our prices, the wholesale price of electricity, being either at the top of the league or close to the top of the league in Europe, is not a good incentive. And I think that's something that has to be addressed. In Northern Ireland, I mentioned earlier there that we're talking, the government's going to bring in a scheme which is likely to bring in a scheme called CFDs. And that, I'll not go into the technicalities of it, but that is likely to help to keep, to reduce prices. So there is some hope on the horizon, some reason for optimism that the price, the wholesale price of electricity will be trimmed a bit in Northern Ireland. Because, as I say, when you're asking people to do something and they say, well, what's the price of it? And what's the cost of it? And you're saying, well, look, unfortunately, the wholesale price of electricity is a bit high. You know, that's not going to prompt them. That's not going to encourage them to make the switch. So we really do have to address the cost of electricity.
The theme of the event is sustainable energy through innovation, and I suppose that's the one theme that's been running through what you've said. Looking at things like how we harness wind into the future, looking at things like biomass, looking at things like building that skills pipeline as well. And as you said, it's one thing to have the technology, it's one thing to have the protocols, but you have to have the people to run them, and crucially the people to understand them. It's going to be important that companies come along to this, that businesses come along to this, and that as you try to move forward with this whole energy debate, that businesses, that companies are moving along with you.
Yeah, and I think we've got an excellent lineup of speakers, and I think from my experience of having chaired the conference in past years, encourages me to tell people that, you know, this is a great opportunity for your business to come along and be briefed on some of the latest discussions, latest thinking. I mean, we have, for instance, Plan Energy about how to reduce your energy costs and curb your carbon emissions. That's important. We'll have Paul Stanfield from Firmus Energy and talking about using biomethane to decarbonize the natural gas network. We have a speaker from Vestas, massive company that produces wind turbines, will be giving us their tuppence worth. Ian Looney from Foyle Port, talking about renewables. Look, we have Evermore, the company that built Ireland's first biomass station. We have such a lineup of wonderful speakers and great talks that, you know, you're going to get something from this. You're going to come away thinking, this has been a good investment of my time. I have learned something that is of practical use to me. And as I move forward, if you're running a business, and indeed for people who are not necessarily running a business, but have a reason for an input into the commercial world, be the politicians, councillors, MLAs, TDs. You know, there is something everybody can pick up from.
And I suppose too, from the point of view of businesses, they do want to play their part in looking after the environment, etc. They do want to be doing the right thing, but they're businesses. They also want to make money, and perhaps there are investment opportunities. Perhaps there's money making opportunities in terms of investing in alternative energies, investing in sustainable energy, and finding ways where maybe in moving into these alternatives and into these sustainable energy streams, they can also perhaps save themselves money and perhaps even generate some income for themselves.
Well, you know, it's the case that you know, companies, very smaller companies, may think, you know, do I want to make this investment? You know, I don't have lots of money to spare. Can I afford to you know, invest in equipment which is going to allow me to decarbonize my business? And my advice, for what it's worth, is that you really have no option, because you may think that it's maybe not a high priority, but the company you're supplying to, the giant perhaps company with an international reputation, an international throw, is going to want you to decarbonize, because they've got to show to their suppliers that they've got to, that their customers, that they are an investors, that they are decarbonizing. And if their suppliers, the people who are supplying to them, are not doing that, then they haven't a complete 100% story to tell. So whether you, in a sense, and I suppose everybody come to the conference, of course, will be committed to renewables. But if some companies feel, well, you know, this is not for me, this is really, I have other things to be bothered about, I have more important things. No, you don't. This is a hugely important thing. You've got to decarbonize. If not for your own benefit of your own business, well, effectively, I'm going to say that it is for the benefit of your own business, because someone else wants you to decarbonize. You know, it might be, to paraphrase that well-known commentator on renewable energy, Leon Trotsky,
who a huge interest. The hero of most businesses these days, I'm sure.
The hero of most businesses. You know, you may not be interested in climate change, but climate change is interested in you. And so you're going to have to change whether you like it or not.
And I suppose if we're going to finish on cliches, let's add the old, if they're asking, can I afford to do it? The response is, can you afford not to?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jamie DeLargy, you are hosting the Northwest's largest energy event. It's returning for the sixth year. It's looking at sustainable energy through innovation. The Chambers in Derry and Letterkenny are both organising it. It's taking place, as we said, at the Ebrington Hotel on Thursday, November 7th. And I suppose really the message to people is, look, start looking at registering and getting involved now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And as we said, Highland Radio are the media partners. Highland Broadcasting, John Breslin broadcasting around the Northwest from the programme, and Greg chairing one of the sessions as well. Jamie DeLargy, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
I don't know.
It's been a pleasure. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. We're going to go to an issue that is affecting a resident of McNeely Villas in Letterkenny. We're joined on the line by Hannah Boyle and also by Hannah's sister, Katie. First off, Hannah, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. And Katie, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Donald.
Hannah, I'm going to go to you first. Now, I know Katie is going to do a lot of the talking with us this morning, but Hannah, I know that you live in McNeely Villas and you use a motorised wheelchair stroke scooter, but you're having an issue. Tell us what the problem is.
You're back there, it's very hard getting up and down it, right?
Yeah.
You have much muck and stones on it. The only way I get down is on the back way of my house.
Yeah.
It's very hard. No one's getting out. And it was even morning as us. Every morning I was thinking, I don't want to get out of the house. Just afraid to get stuck on it.
Yeah. Katie, you've been trying to help Hannah as much as you can. I mean, the situation, as Hannah explains, it sounds serious. Tell us what's there, because it sounds like a major problem.
Yeah, well, first of all, Hannah's only access to her home is a back door, because Hannah's on a scooter, and she can't use the front door, so she has to go around the back lane. Now, the lane is a disgrace, but there's a lot of holes, stones, muck, and every time she's getting punctures all the time. Hannah's been stuck millions of times out the back off the lane, which neighbours comes out and helps Hannah and pushes her out of the holes, but actually is on the back lane. Now, there's one issue that was really, that Hannah was saying, that a neighbour actually found Hannah lying in a hole in the back of the lane because Hannah was shouting for help. And the neighbour himself, I'm not going to name the neighbour, but the neighbour himself had a triple bypass. As an elderly person, he came out and helped Hannah out of the hole. Hannah had fallen in them potholes for many of times, and I had to write emails and phone calls to the council to try and fix it. Now, I have to say, myself was writing emails, and there's a friend, and he's a person that lives in McNeely Village. He's a community activist. His name is Colin. Mm-hmm. He was supporting Hannah too, And Colin was right in email himself too. So we have been trying to contact the council through emails and phone calls, which are hiding behind the emails and everything else. Now, this is very serious. Hannah's very vulnerable. She cannot walk. She has a disability. She keeps falling.
Yep.
And Hannah's actually in very bad pain now this morning because she was telling me that she didn't know she could do this because she's in a lot of painkillers from up and down the hole, up and down that laneway and all the holes that she's going into. Now, there was a budget. There was a budget allocated to fix that lane, and that was in July 2023. Now, they did start fixing at the very top, and they started clearing it, but they never came back to fix the tower.
The new surface never appeared?
Never appeared. It hasn't, like, as far as we're concerned, where is, like, the health and safety, but for people like herself, her Hannah, going up and down that laneway, people walking, there's children plays down there, and I just think it's a disgrace that they didn't fix the, which they know Hannah. Everybody around there kind of knows Hannah has been a scooter. 17 years she had a tumor, and she's been in a wheelchair ever since. And Hannah has got about 3-4 scooters already. And Hannah tries her best to save every penny. Mm. Every penny Hannah gets to try and either to maintain the scooter, fix the punctures, or you have to buy a new one.
And I believe someone has to come down from Kerrykeogh to fix the punctures. It's not just something that could be done quickly locally.
There's a Kerrykeogh man comes down, helps Hannah and fixes. And then there's a garage over by Pierce Road, and they are very good now. Hannah was going to get them to come on over, and a lot of her money was being paid for all these punctures, and you know, and it's just it's a fun too because. She was out. She likes going swimming. She likes going out to Aura. And she came back once. She had a slow puncture. And guess what happened? She forgot to take her phone with her. And she was stuck out there. And the guards passed her. And the guards had their paddy wagon that day. And they gave her Hannah a lift home.
Mm.
And Hannah was embarrassed. But it was her only help.
Yeah.
So, and Hannah had no one else to ring. And Hannah says, thank God the guards passed Katie because I had a puncture and I couldn't move. And she was stuck. And the guards were very happy. They were very happy to give her a lift home. But it was embarrassed for her to get out of the paddy wagon and help, and then taking the scooter down. For everybody knows the story. Hannah needs help.
Yeah, and in fairness, you have said it. Everyone in McNeely Villas and further afield, as you say, everyone knows Hannah. Everyone is doing all they can to help Hannah as much as they can. But really, what Hannah wants, and I'm sure from Hannah's point of view, and I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Hannah. I'm sure Hannah wants her own independence, and I'm going to put that to Hannah. I mean, Hannah, I know I'm sure you appreciate everyone's help. You appreciate all the support, but you want to be independent. You want to do your own thing in your own scooter in your own time. I'm sure.
Yes, I do, surely.
And from your point of view, the most important thing is that this lane is put in a situation where you can actually use it.
Yeah. Every time I get up, and the first thing in the morning, I think about it. When I get up or down, I don't know. It's just stuck on us, isn't it? No, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely appreciate that, Katie, and I know, and that's what I'm saying here. It really is that, you know, Hannah wants her own independence, and it's really incumbent, as you said, the council had made a commitment last year. It began work to clear it, but hasn't finished up the work. Now, I know I've seen...
Where's the money? Where was it? I was allocated for that lane. Where did it go? Why did they stop?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are out there and asking questions.
And I'm sure you've been in touch with some of the councillors around the town as well.
Oh, I have, and there's been emergency meetings now because of the fact that there's a voice there now. Colin is a community activist, and he's wrote things on posters on the Old Town community. And the fact that now, when I wrote so many emails and Colin, and then when I spoke that Hannah fell out of the scooter a couple of times, and it's not that she's. Some people falling, but they're actually going running looking for compensation. Hannah doesn't want that. All Hannah wants, Hannah's mental health has got deteriorated. All she wants is that lane. If they could just fix it for her to go up and down that wee lane, and that's all she wants. She's asked for nothing. They're never asked anything from nobody. If anything, Hannah's a very kind lady.
Yeah.
She'd be there for you. But the fact that the council could please do something. They need to do it now, like, because the weather's so bad. like, I know the Welsh way, but the tower needs to be put down for Hannah. Hannah feels like a prisoner in her own home.
Yeah.
Every morning she's ringing me. She's worried about her health. And I'm worried about, she's my sister, and I'm worried about her health and safety up and down that lane.
Of course.
She's falling so many times. The neighbours are coming out. Hannah's shouting. All the neighbours coming out going, Hannah, we will try our best to help.
And in fairness to the community, they're doing just that. All I can say, Katie, is, I mean, you know, fair play to you and the community for doing everything you can. Hannah, hang in there. The council's going to have to listen to what you're saying and what the community is saying.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will get this resolved. I know that there's been more of a public focus on it. And no better man than Colm, no stranger to this programme either. No better man than Colm to start putting the pressure on it. But for the moment, Katie and Hannah, thank you both very much indeed.
Can I just say one thing?
I
wonder, like, the council, what kind of feedback are we going to get back from this?
Well, we've certainly put a question to the council, and we'll see what answer we get back, and we can take it from there. But, I mean, I'm sure it's well in the public domain now, and hopefully something will come of that.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Tony.
Okay, Katie, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And all the best to you. And Hannah, all the best to you as well.